Hi, this is Andy.
And hi, this is Sunny. And you are listening to the Business Over Chai podcast.
Our mission is to share startup stories that will inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs across the South Asian community. Hi everyone, before we start this episode, we'd like to just take a moment to celebrate our first 1,000 downloads. Thank you to those who have supported us along the way, and I hope that this content continues to inspire you on your entrepreneur journey. In this episode, we speak to Sonia Nagpal, founder and CEO of Distas World, which is one of the largest online content platforms aiming to give a voice to South Asians across the globe and headquartered in New York City. Sonia shares a story for the first time ever on our podcast about her experience leading major events and working with South Asian personalities and artists, including Stereo Nation, Nargis Fakhri, and Tara Natali. Sonia discusses how she started her side hustle, Distas, and how she secured sponsorships with giants such as Sony Music, Toyota, and LinkedIn. She also discusses the ability to harness the power of manifestation and positivity as an entrepreneur.
Sonia, thank you so much for coming on our show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. I'm so honored that you guys, you know, took the time out to do this.
Absolutely. A great place to start would be to talk a little bit about your background, perhaps, where you grew up and where you went to school.
Yeah, so I was born in India. I came here when I was about 3 years old. We've been living in Long Island, New York since then, pretty much. I went to school in Bayshore, Long Island, and college at Stony Brook University. And yeah, so that's kind of, you know, been my journey.
Where in India were you born?
New Delhi. Nice. If I tell you Shamnagar is where, you probably wouldn't even know where that is. So I think it's like a small town.
Ah, cool. I only know Tilaknagar. I don't know if that's...
I think it's close to it.
I'll check it out on the Google Maps. Soon.
I have no idea where they are, but that sounds great.
They're great. So let's kick things off with Distas, Sonia. Can you explain the idea behind Distas and what you're trying to achieve with it?
So before I go there, I guess I should kind of just mention that though, you know, I've been pretty much raised here my whole life, I really do identify with our South Asian culture, you know, the music, the movies. And so that bug has always been inside me where, you know, I've always wanted to be in some sort of a creative space with that. In college, I used to do dances. I was known in school for my dancing. And then eventually that led to me doing events that were South Asian related. I did that for many, many years. And I was always behind the scene. So, you know, one day I was like, I wanted to do something where my face and my name is associated with it. And that's kind of where Distas was born. You know, it's been 5 years and it's been an amazing journey where it's been, you know, there's been a creative process, but also a fun aspect to it. Going back to really quick to why I really started Distas was I was doing PR work, and anytime there was a non-celebrity that needed some kind of, you know, PR work, I would never be able to get any Desi media to come out. Now, Desi media to me, at least in New York, is lacking, because it's, you know, we have some that are great, like AVS, you know, I love them, and I'm not being biased because, you know, I do partner with them, but it's a lot of the older generation still running those newspapers and those media outlets. So unless it's Bollywood related, they really didn't care. So for me, it was like, well, I want to start something where it provides a foundation for, you know, even people such as you that are doing things out of the box, making strides, you know, whether for career or for community. And that was, you know, one of the main reasons Distas started.
Were you fairly connected to a community before you sort of started this journey in terms of setting up Distas, or like how did you just form Distas? What was that process?
So I was very heavily involved in the South Asian community. In 2000 was my first official big event. Stereo Nation was really big back then. And so I was the one who did their show in New York City at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is like this huge space. It's an iconic venue. And since then, it's been one event after another. I used to work with four other people on doing SASA, which is the South Asian Students Alliance Conference. And that took place every year. We did it for 5 years. It took place every year where we had 2,000 plus students come from all different colleges for like a 3 to 4 day weekend conference. We had guest speakers like Gurinder Chadda, Deepak Chopra's son, Gautam Chopra. We had a whole slew of different guest keynote speakers. Oh, Indira Nooyi was one. I think she had just kind of signed on as a CEO at that point. So we had that. We had a cultural show aspect where the kids competed a dance competition. And then at night there were parties and social gatherings. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 5 years. And this is before social media. So Jay Sean, Raghav, Bohemia, all these artists that you guys know or may know of, that's kind of where they got their start. And SASA was like a big platform for them.
Wow, I didn't know anything about SASA. That's pretty.
Yeah, this is back in like 2002.
Okay. So you're pretty well mixed in the crowd, if you want to call it that.
And yeah, so I've been in the South Asian scene for a very long time. When SASA ended, I work with a couple other different promoters doing events, concerts. And again, so when I came down to finally saying, okay, I think I want something on my own, that's kind of where, you know, I started Dis Dash.
You mentioned there about South Asian community there, Sonia. So I think one of the things we talked about last time we spoke to you were how you wanted Dis Dash to be quite all-inclusive, kind of bringing different South Asian communities together. Why was that kind of so important to you? And did you notice some sort of disparity between the communities before then? And this was your way of kind of joining the bridges?
Well, I see that there are a lot of, you know, South, like Indian, I'm going to specifically say Indian platforms. Pakistanis have theirs. Bangladeshis have theirs. But I don't think anyone is doing something where it's at least trying to cover all three areas. And I do try to make an effort to do that. And for me, it was important because I grew up here with Pakistani friends, with Bangladeshi friends. So I don't look at them and think they're Pakistani. They're just my friends. But, you know, and so I watch Pakistani movies. I watch Pakistani dramas. And so and I'm not the only one, you know? So it's kind of like we're the same. So then why do we have to have a separate entity for each? Why can't it just be one platform that just talks about it all? Mm. And that's kind of where the name came from. You know, when we were thinking of a name, it was, you know, this, that, and this, that. We kept going back and forth. And finally, I'm like, I don't want to say, like, you know how you heard the term a little bit of dis, a little bit of dat. So I don't want to use dat because I thought dat sounded a little, it just didn't sound as professional. So we came with dash. So it became dis dash. So a little bit of dis, a little bit of dash.
I get it now. Yeah, we were going to ask you, how did you come up with such a unique name? So
yeah, and it's funny because I wanted to make one thing for sure that I did not want it to be South Asian related because we are Americans living here. And so I wanted to be like where if someone who's non-South Asian came to my site, you know, it wouldn't be like, yes, they would see obviously content that's specific to South Asians, but it's in a format, it's in a language where they can easily understand and, you know, catch on. Mm-hmm.
So Dis Dash, I mean, would you call it a blog that has news and lifestyle related topics? How would you describe it?
I could be wrong in my understanding, but I believe blogs are usually when it's one individual writing, you know, about whatever topic there is. I prefer to call myself a media content site.
Great. And then in terms of the content you provide, Sonia, what kind of things are on there?
It really is a little bit of everything. So we cover politics, entertainment. We feature up and coming recording artists.
Yep.
We do a show every Tuesday called Tune In Tuesdays. Before it was just articles. Now we started doing video. You know, we cover, again, just, you know, South Asians that are making strides. I recently just interviewed a gentleman who is running for city council. So, you know, it's literally I want to say a hodgepodge of all things they see, but in an organized manner. So it's not really a hodgepodge.
That's right. Great.
Okay. And I think one of the things you talked about last time we spoke, Sonia, was that you didn't really want to be kind of the announcing kind of channel. You know, you want to add some sort of perspective or opinion to the writing pieces, or you want your writers to. Why did you kind of want to focus on that? Why was that important to you?
I feel like because we have a voice, my writers have a voice, and I want them to be able to express that, right? So if there's something that's happening in the world and we don't agree with it, I don't think we should just talk about it without expressing that we don't agree with it. And we're pretty open about it. You know, a lot of times when this whole, I remember like a couple of years ago when India and Pakistan were kind of having this whole, let's ban the artist, and you know, they had the whole thing going on. Me and even my writers that are based in India felt that it was, we couldn't resonate with it. And so we said what we had to say, you know, and it's kind of like, we're allowed to have our truth just like everyone else's, but we don't want to just say, okay, this is out in the news. So we want to be a cookie cutter and just take what's there and just regurgitate, because you can, if there's news, you've already most likely already heard of, right? Yeah. So it's not like we're someone who's going to give you the first exclusive.
Yeah.
One day, maybe. Right now, we're not at that space. So it's kind of like, all right, we already know the news is out there, but how can we present it so it's not the same as everyone else? And again, add our own opinion to it.
Yeah. And I guess also, like, how do you differentiate between what is like clickbaity versus, you know, actually authentic, informed news as a media outlet?
So we have our fun clickbaity articles too. You know, maybe there's like a trend going on with a certain makeup style, just giving you an example, you know, maybe mm-hmm. we'll do something on that. So I'm not against it, but when it comes to important issues, you know, when it comes to things like, I don't know, Black Lives Matter, this, oh, you know, hate the crime, you know, stop the hate with Asians. You know, those things cannot be taken lightly. So mm-hmm. those, we don't do it as a clickbait, but more again, as something that's a serious topic, and we present it that way.
Got it. So in terms of your competitors, Sonia, who do you see they are, and how do you think you perhaps can differentiate a little bit between yourselves and others, and not only competitors, but where do you see yourself striving to be? Are there any kind of examples that you want to kind of follow?
So I don't know if we have competitors, because I feel like everyone is doing, like, there are other media outlets that are online media outlets, and sure. but I feel like they're very niche. I feel like they have a very specific, you know, topic that they talk about, whereas we, again, are very a little bit more broad. And I think we do add a video element, which many of them don't. So, and I don't like to think of them as competitors, because that's a negative connotation already attached to it. I feel like we're all trying to do something in our own, you know, in our own area, and there's room for everybody, you know?
And, you know, Diss Dash, it's grown over the last 5 years. I mean, you shared some stats. You've got like almost 26,000 followers on Instagram. You've got like 20,000 followers on Facebook, and you've got about 10 employees now working for it. That does, you know, that's a massive achievement for what you've done. And this is not like the only thing that you do. You told us that you have an actual job where you know, and this is kind of like almost like a side hustle. And I think there might be a lot of entrepreneurs out there, or people that want to become an entrepreneur, that have a full-time job and they're thinking, how can I just create my little side hustle? How do you even figure that out? And what kind of things have you learned through that process that you would maybe, you know, want to share to somebody that might be thinking about the same thing?
So before I answer your question, I want to kind of address the whole followers that you mentioned, the stats. It's so hard not to get wrapped up in the numbers, especially when you feel you're putting out good content. And sometimes you're like, oh, well, why didn't I get the traction that I thought it would have? Or, you know, in 5 years, that it's only 26,000 followers. Why isn't it more? Whether other people are able to get more, you know, it's really easy to get pulled into that. And for me, I make a conscious effort now to kind of have that tunnel vision, where it's like, this is something I'm putting out into the universe. It's going to reach who it's supposed to. And somehow or the other, I'll get whatever I'm supposed to get from it. Right. So it's kind of like just keeping that tunnel vision and just, you know, there's that saying, you know, do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about what you're going to gain from it. You know, just do it. And that's kind of the approach that I've been taking right now. Now coming to your other question about my day job. Yes, I do have a day job. I actually have another full-fledged running company where I have about 8 to 9 different clients. I'm in the IT/HR in India, I have a training center where we're training people on Workday, which is a system used in HR and finance. With that, you know, I kind of train, I get them trained, then we place them. But I'm kind of running the overall business in addition to DishDash.
Wow. So, I mean, that's really impressive, Sonia. I mean, people struggle to kind of manage one job. I know I certainly do. So, I mean, to manage two kind of, you know, fully fledged revenue generating businesses is quite impressive. How do you kind of prioritize between the two? Does one always take priority over the other, or how do you manage your time?
Oh my God. If you had an opportunity to come spend a day with me, you'd see how crazy it is. I now call myself the queen of multitasking. So it'll be funny, right? I'll have a work meeting, and then in between that, I'll have like an interview with like a Jackie Shroff, which has just happened recently, right? With Jackie Shroff. And then I have to like shift off, and now I have a work meeting. So it's like, it's all being at home has made it a little bit easier. I'll say that. When I was going into the city to an actual location, one day I had my bag on the floor and my boss walked by and he's like, "Why do you have a microphone in your bag?" So I'm like, well, you know, that's my other life. So, you know, it's just when you want something, you make it happen, right? And for me, I enjoy it. I enjoy both. I can honestly say I enjoy both. So for me, it's, you know, it's not work. I make it happen. I'm not even sure how sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's tricky. I mean, both Sunny and I, we have full-time jobs, and then I guess also, I mean, the earlier point that you made, Sonia, about the numbers and getting into the numbers, we just hit our 1,000 downloads. So we're still like fairly small. And
no, but you know what? But I'm going to stop you there. Don't say you're small, because you've now reached 1,000 people, who will have other friends, and they'll probably talk to them about you guys. And so that 1,000 number, like, you don't quantify it. Yeah. You just see it as yourself, as you've now touched these many people, and it'll just, you know, keep growing.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're absolutely right. Like, sometimes we do get bogged down on numbers, like, hey, this one is not performing so well, and this one is. And I think in business and in a lot of aspects in life, you're just always looking at the numbers, and just, you know, staying focused and thinking about what's next is super important.
Yeah. And you asked me about TikTok earlier, right? When we were just chatting before the interview, and you're like, well, you know, are you on TikTok? And I love TikTok. I can spend hours on it, just laughing at stupid stuff. But and then you see someone on TikTok and they have like millions of followers, and you're like, what am I doing wrong? You know, like, why do I have like 10 likes and they have like a million? You know, so it's really hard to like pull yourself away from that. But I think you have to, and you kind of just have to stay in your own lane and, you know, just take it as it comes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So Sonia, you touched upon the kind of Toyota partnership you did earlier on, and you were like, well, is anyone listening to us? And then they reached out to you. So tell us a little bit about that, what it was about. And then how do they firstly know about DishDash? I mean, were they looking at certain sort of metrics? How did that opportunity come about?
Yeah. So the whole process from start to finish and solidifying that, I'm going to say, you know, before we signed off on the contract, was about at least 4 to 5 months, just back and forth. But basically about a year and a half ago, we at DishDash covered a New York Indian Film Festival in the city, and Toyota was one of the sponsors for that event.
Right.
I guess they saw us there. They liked the work we did when we did the interview. And based on that, they reached out. So they actually, if I remember correctly, I think they went on the website and contacted that way. And then, you know, eventually it came down to me, my personal email, and I ignored it at first. Because it didn't say Toyota. There's a middle agency that kind of works in between. And so it was not one that I recognized. So I opened the email, there was like 10 different forms in it. And I'm just like, what is this? And I just, I'm like, all right, I'll look at it later. I didn't even pay attention to it. And about maybe 3 weeks later, someone calls me like, hi, this is, you know, so-and-so. We sent you an email about a possible opportunity with Toyota, you know, just haven't heard back. And I was like, oh my God, what did I miss? So I went back, and I kid you not, those forms were tedious. But, you know, we provided stats, we provided all that we can do for them. What I did extra for them was, so about a while ago, we started doing these funny, like little episodes called called Cheesecake. And basically it was just these fun videos that we were doing. So what I proposed to them was, okay, we can maybe do a, you know, a fun video and incorporate one of your ads or your logo. And then eventually it just transformed into us doing a little, I'm going to say like a, not a commercial per se, but almost like it, where I reached out to two influencers. One is Tara Natali. She is Jay Sean's wife. I genuinely like look up to her. I think she's amazing. She's into, you know, meditation and just a very Zen lifestyle, but she's also an entrepreneur, a mother, you know, a manager for Jay Sean as well. And so I just thought her story was so great. So what we did was we took her story and we incorporated it using the car. I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to see it. I can send you the video. So yeah, so, you know, that's kind of what we said to them, that we'll present something in a different way. This way the influencer can also give you the promotion as well as us providing you the product. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's quite innovative. Good way to think about it, actually. I mean, obviously when Toyota came to you, that's quite a big name. I mean, did you ever kind of think that that's where you would start? Or
I actually forgot to mention, I actually did not get my start there. The start was Sony Music India. They reached out to us first. This is a year before Toyota. And they contacted us because actually they were here in New York, the representatives, and I met with them. Someone introduced me to them. So I met up with them. I think they met a bunch of different South Asians. And I sent them, you know, once after the meeting, I sent them like a PowerPoint deck of what all I can do for them. And based on that, they signed a 1-month contract with us to promote a specific song. So that was my first, you know, official, I would say, mainstream name client. And then came LinkedIn. LinkedIn basically hired us for, I have a contact at LinkedIn, and she called me up and said, hey, we're doing a Diwali event. It's the first ever at LinkedIn in New York. You know, do you want to be part of it? Because I need some artists and I need someone to kind of manage everything. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So that's kind of how I got it. It's an amazing. And now like 3 years later, we are a preferred vendor with LinkedIn. So anytime they have anything, they contact us.
Mm, that's awesome.
And then came Toyota. Fantastic. And then came Toyota. Okay.
But again, I mean, these are all kind of household names, right? These are in
the brands. But you know, the funny thing is, if you didn't ask me, perhaps no one would even know. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unless someone's really paying close attention, you know, it might even get missed.
Sure.
We're just going to take a quick break. If you like what you're hearing, please remember to hit the subscribe button, and we'd love to hear your feedback. So please remember to leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter on our handle Business Over Chai, or on our website at businessoverchai.com. Thanks again, and now back to the podcast.
What are some of the things that you would perhaps recommend those that are in the content space, maybe not directly in yours, but may want to think about as they are approached or approaching brands, big brands for sponsorship?
You know, it's funny because I'm not really sure I know how to answer that, because I didn't actively go looking. So I'm not really sure what that process would entail. But what I will say is, you know, I'll give you an example. I have this event coming up next Thursday. It's with Bollywood actress Nargis Fakhri. And it's a ladies' night out. It's a makeup event, plus like dinner, dancing and stuff for women. Proceeds are going to Give India for the COVID relief fund. And I contacted someone saying, hey, I'm doing this event, you know, do you know anyone that would be interested in sponsoring? And he's actually associated with Sling TV. And so he's like, okay. He's like, I think I can get you sponsorship. So he was able to get, you know, some sponsorship money from them. That's kind of how it worked. But I know that in the past, I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, I was thinking of putting together a music festival, and I created this amazing deck. We reached out to so many companies and didn't hear back from any. Wow. No, we heard back from one, which was based in New York, but there was no follow through. It didn't really like materialize, right? So I can't say I know how to do it. I'll be really honest. I actually don't know. Networking obviously is like the key. So, you know, if there's a networking opportunity, but my biggest thing is when you actively try to make something happen, it never works. I really think you have to start like, and I'm really big into this, you know, the whole visualization, right? So you kind of have to picture where you want your brand or your company to be how it happens is not what you should be worried about.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because yeah. when you get into the how, you get into doubt, you get your fear comes up, and you're almost resisting what's about to come in. You have to really look at the end picture.
Yep.
For me, the end picture is that I want this dash to be the go-to company where mainstream companies like Toyota, like Coca-Cola come and say, you know, we want to reach this demographic. And so we want to come through you, kind of like what Toyota did.
Yeah.
You know, I want my big office in Manhattan, which I've already started, you know, putting up vision board pictures and, you know, started doing all that. So, yeah, I don't know if that's a good answer or not, but that's kind of what's worked for me.
Yeah. It's just that what I think I see a lot of entrepreneurs do and think about is, especially in the content space, is I'm going to make this content. I'm going to keep making this content until hopefully one day my end goal is for somebody to sponsor me to finally pay for that content or pay for the work and the graft that I've done. And I think sometimes that can be, you know, your objective is then just to get paid, and then you kind of lose sight of actual content. But it sounds like what you're saying here is just focus on your own area, your own domain, and, you know, eventually through networking, through relationship building, that's when actually people will approach you or companies will approach you. Is that kind of the thing that you would?
I mean, that's what's happened to me. I don't know if that's the only mm-hmm. approach, or if that's, you know, there's no exact science to it, right?
Yeah.
At least not that I know of. And if I did, trust me, I'd be doing it.
Yeah.
So I myself am in, you know, the learning and growing phase.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Sonny, you touched us a little bit about visualization there and how that's really important to you. We heard a fantastic story from you last time we spoke. Would you mind sharing it with our listeners, please?
Yeah, for sure. So back in 2006 was when I first got introduced to The Secret, a book by Rhonda Burns. I can't remember who or how suggested it to me, but in that book, it says, you know, you should create a vision board. And basically what that is a cutout of different things that you want to manifest in your life. So without really thinking, I cut out a picture of this apartment with floor-to-ceiling windows, white furniture, and, you know, just randomly put it up there. It was the first thing I found. And when I left that job, I took that and I put it in a box. Didn't look at it again for many years. I moved to different apartments since then. In 2011, I moved to where I am now. And 2014, I was just cleaning up my closet and I found that box. And when I opened that box and I took out and I saw that picture, I almost like I don't know if I was crying or if I was just so happy. And just, I was like, oh my God, I'm living in that apartment now. You know, I have my white furniture. I have
that floor-to-ceiling
windows. I have the floor-to-ceiling windows. I'll show you that after. I'll turn my camera around, but I have the floor-to-ceiling windows, you know, and I just couldn't believe it that it was literally that exact same apartment.
Wow. The power of visualization.
Well, I'm going to give you another example, something that happened very recently to me, right? These eight clients that I have right now, they all happen within the span of from January to now. Don't ask me how it just kind of happened, right? There was some kind of shift or something. And I don't know. I don't even know what it was, but I was talking to one of my mentors and she was like, you know, do you actively manifest money? And I said, no, I mean, I don't really think about it. She goes, well, you should start. She goes, you know, put a dollar amount of what you want. And I said, okay, you know, $100,000. She goes, damn girl, you know, you're really putting it out there. I'm like, I don't know. You asked me. So, you know, I said it. And I forgot to mention, she said, you know, this money basically would come the next like 3 weeks. So I just said $100,000, right? Then she said to me, do you see it coming all at once or in increments? And in my mind, I thought increments. I didn't tell her the amount, but I had a set amount that I thought would come in, right? Anyway, a few days goes by and 10:30 at night, I get a call from an old colleague and he's like, hey, Sonia, we have this workday project coming up. You know, would you be interested? I'm like, hell yeah. So we started talking. I gave him a rate. And for some reason, he didn't hear me or what, but he ended up giving me more than what I asked for. And that amount total to the number that I had thought in my head when I said that I want the money in increments.
Wow. That's some spooky like, stuff or something.
Yeah. When he said that, I went to my calculator. I'm like, no way. Like, holy shit, this stuff works.
See, I would be saying, why did I not say $1 million, right?
Well, that's what my friend said. She's like, why did you ask for $1 million? And I said, you know what? Because you have to believe in what you're asking for. I believed 100,000 could be possible. So it, I didn't put doubt into it. I didn't think about it, yeah. You know, after I said it.
I mean, Sonia, you're making it sound like you don't know how this stuff happens. You're making it sound like it's almost kind of luck or coincidence at times. But let's be honest, you know, you're a hardworking person. You know, you work hard. You're running two businesses. You're managing your social life, your personal life. You know, you're working hard though, right? So, I mean, there is a lot of hard work that you're doing. It's not just all happy-go-lucky.
You know, you're right. There is. And there are times when I'm human, I get frustrated too. But right now, I think because I'm doing so much self-work, and by self-work, I mean literally taking that time out in between the chaos to just shut off, shut the phone off, shut everything off, sit there, meditate, close my, just literally shut off. And what happens is when you're in that zone, one, I feel like that's when you can manifest the most, but when you're in that zone, you kind of ground yourself, and that gives you the energy to kind of keep moving with the tunnel vision. You know, because I'm human, I go on social media and it's, you know, you see someone doing something so amazing, you're like, damn, I wish I was doing that. But now I'm like, no, it's okay. Happy for them. My journey is my journey.
Yeah. So. Yeah. With a lot of grit as well.
There, I won't lie. I mean, like this, the consulting company takes up a lot of my time. Like even while we're talking right now, my phone is going crazy right now. With them calling me and asking me questions, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna have to wait. but yeah, you know, so it is a lot of work, I won't lie, but I believe it's, sometimes my friends are like, how do you do it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I think there's just, it's just someone looking out for me, you know, like I believe in God, I believe, you know, we have guardians that are kind of watching us, and so, you know, I feel like it's coming through that.
I just wanted to ask on the topic of just, you know, having the right people around you. And we spoke in a previous conversation about South Asians helping others. And has that helped in your experience? And yeah, could you share a bit about, you know, some of the opportunities there and some of the challenges there that you've faced?
Yeah. I noticed right away that, you know, I almost felt like I was in high school or something, where, you know, even now in the media world, people have their cliques, right? So it's kind of like if there's the trending, I'm not even sure how to explain it, but people do tend to have their cliques, right? And so it's like they're not as supportive as they claim to be, you know, where I genuinely do try to support whoever I can, irrespective of who they are, because that's what I would want. But I feel like not everyone does that. And that's just from my own personal experience.
Got it.
So are people just jealous of other people's success? I mean, what is it?
I don't know what it is with us, you know, South Asians. I wish they would understand that if we come together, we have a bigger chance in, you know, in the numbers. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I'm, like I said, I try not to focus on that anymore. Because I'm like, the people that are meant to be part of my tribe or meant to be part of the journey will show up, you know, take you guys, for instance, right? Like you guys don't have to do this today, but you're here supporting me and vice versa. So it's like, you know, I feel like-minded people somehow will find their way to you.
Yeah, and I completely agree there. I mean, we, as Andy mentioned earlier, you know, we reached our 1,000 kind of listeners and, you know, we're really thankful to our supporters. And I'm sure there's people that listen to our episode and said, you know, it's not for me. That's fine. But you know, we keep striving and doing what we want to do, and hopefully, we'll get there, and we'll get a Toyota kind of sponsorship too.
Yes, for sure. And next time I get it, I'll incorporate you guys. Hell yeah. No, but I mean, you know, you guys wanted to interview me, and first I was just like, I don't. You just saw my email. I was like, yeah. I don't know if I'm really at that point where I should be interviewed, you know? So it's, you know, maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit. I don't know. But, you know, even someone listening to this podcast, I even wonder if they'd be like, oh God, this is boring, or, you know, like this girl is just, you know, I don't know.
No, absolutely not. So going back to visualization, Sonia, you told us that when you were a little girl, you wanted to be a Bollywood actress. How seriously were you, but how serious were you about that, and how far did you go with it?
Well, obviously not serious, because I didn't really put the effort. The max I think I did was dance in my, you know, school, my college shows, and feel that, you know, that get that high from, you know, playing, you know, a character or something, you know, on stage.
And you were then, also, wait, you were also an extra in a very, very big movie, weren't you?
So yeah, that's my, my claim to fame. So there was, you know, Kabhi Alvida Na Kehna, a Shah Rukh Khan, Amitabh Bachchan, Abhishek Bachchan movie. I was in Maryland at that time, and I heard they were doing the shooting here in New York. And so I drove from, you know, from Maryland twice to be an extra. And there's a scene where you can actually see me like for 2 seconds. And so I was standing on the stairs, and in front of me, Shah Rukh and Amitabh were, you know, were chit-chatting. For me, that was, I always wanted to be in a Yash Chopra, Karan Johar movie. And that was my bucket list checked off. So that was the extent to my Bollywood career.
Be honest with us. How many times have you seen that film now?
Well, I definitely went and saw it opening night in the theater. I was dating someone at that time, and I'm like, and he's not into Indian movies. So I'm like, no, you're coming. You're watching me on stage on this big screen.
Yeah.
I've seen it not that many times, because it's not like I was speaking role. It's literally me standing on the stairs. But, you know, I auditioned for like local shows here. Sure. I would like leave work, go to the audition. And I was like, oh my God, there are people that do this every day for hours and hours. Like, unless you are really, really passionate about it, just don't even bother. So that's kind of where I was like, yeah, this is not for me. That's not the drive I have. This is not what I'm going to be pursuing. I think if I wanted it bad enough, I could definitely make it happen, but it's not what I wanted bad enough.
It's never too late.
No, I think I'm good.
I think you've got a few things going on right now.
Yeah. So Sonia, obviously you work very hard, but I know that you have a strong team behind you. Would you like to talk a little bit about who you have supporting you in your business?
So for me, I would say the soul of Dish Dash is my editor-in-chief, Pallavi. She's based in India. Besides her and I, like we're Dish Dash for us is 24/7. Irrespective of me having a job, irrespective of whatever she has going on, this is, you know, this is our baby, you know, it's not just mine. So she is, you know, like I said, the heart and soul of Dish Dash. And without her, this would not be possible. I mean, this girl, you know, came to me as a writer 4.5 years ago. And at that time I had someone else who was playing the role of editor-in-chief. She had to step away to family obligations because, you know, this is very time consuming. And Pallavi went from writer to manager to eventually editor-in-chief. And she taught herself how to like edit or create all the Insta stories that you guys ever see, all the posting. She edits all the videos. So she taught herself all that, you know, so we can keep the cost in-house and do all that. So, you know, I like I said, she's without her, this would not be possible.
Okay. Is she kind of like a co-founder or sorry? Oh,
she is. Just a partner? She's a co-founder. She's a co-founder for sure. Yeah. Like I said, she eventually, we, you know, just worked her way up, and
that's awesome.
I was like, I'm never letting you go. So you're becoming a co-founder with me.
That's great.
And she was there early on, right? Literally it's been 5 years for us. And she came on like when it was only 6 months into the, of us being live.
So tell us what the future of Dish Dash is and what's next for you as well.
Dish Dash is going to be the place to go when mainstream companies want to target the South Asian audience. I am going to have an office in New York City with floor-to-ceiling windows. if you have seen the movie The Intern, that's what it's going to be like.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be.
I love the confidence. It's so good. That's awesome.
I've put it out there. It's going to happen.
Yeah. It's happened two times already, right? Two different episodes of you reading into the future, and they both happened. So this definitely will happen as well.
To be honest, it's been more than twice. It's been many times, but those are two that just recent. Well, one is recent and one is just that just really stood out to me. But yeah, we all manifest all the time, you know. It's whatever you put your focus on, that's what you're going to see in your life. So when you are aware of what your, you know, what the results of your thoughts are going to be, you really make that effort to think big, positive. Don't worry about the how, somehow it just shows up.
Yeah, that's great. Power of positivity is real.
No, it's very real. It's very, very real. You know, I used to follow Nargis Fakhri on, she's a Bollywood actress on Instagram. Actually, no, I didn't follow her. Someone shared one of her really positive posts. And I'm like, oh, this is really positive. You know, I like how she thinks. So I started following her. And I'm like, you know, she's someone that I feel like I need to know or have in my life. And lo and behold, somehow I went to this event and met this makeup artist. And it turned out that makeup artist is Nurgis's makeup artist. And now, 2-3 years later, you know, Nurgis and I are friends. I'm doing an event with her, a couple of events with her. And yeah, so it's weird how things happen.
That's amazing.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Cool. Andy, do you want to ask our famous final question?
Yeah. So, Sonia, we ask all of our guests this question. So if you were to have chai with three guests, living or otherwise, who would they be and why?
I start off with you guys.
Aw, that's the first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you guys took the time and effort to, like, you know, give me this platform. So I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me. Yeah.
Thanks.
So in addition to you guys, Oprah Winfrey, I just love everything about her. She's very much into, you know, the whole spirituality of things, the positive thinking, and her Super Soul Sundays are such a big influence in my life. So she's definitely somebody. There's Michelle Obama. I feel like she's such a boss lady. Would love to, you know, sit and chit chat with her. And then Shah Rukh Khan. Do I need to say why?
Of course. Absolutely.
Did you get to, I have to ask a question on that. Did you actually speak to him when you were an extra?
No, but I went to a concert of his years ago here in New York, and we had backstage passes because I knew the guy doing the show. And so he let us in after the show. And so basically it's a room full of, like, there's Deepika, Shah Rukh, Abhishek Bachchan, Sonu Sood, and a couple other people. They're all just sitting like this. I walk in and I couldn't see anyone else. It was just Shah Rukh. So we stood behind him, and, you know, he shook my hand, and I was really corny. I said, I just died and went to heaven. And so he looked at me and he's like, he's probably thinking, yeah, girl, I get this all the time.
Oh my gosh.
He was very gracious. He shook my hand, and, you know, and that was, yeah.
That is a great story.
He's responsible for so many people going to heaven. It's crazy.
That's what I was going to say. Like, look at that.
Yeah.
You don't need to pray. You just, you know, be in love with Shah Rukh, and there you go.
Yeah, no, brilliant, fantastic. No, that's great, Sonia. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with us. It's been great speaking to you, actually, and to learn about how the power of positivity is real, and that everyone should go out there and, you know, live their dream and not be afraid to go out there and do it. So thank you so much for your time, Sonia. Really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you guys once again for just providing this platform. I'm really excited. I feel like the next time I talk to you, those numbers, not that, again, that they matter, but just not about the numbers, but I feel like you're going to reach more hearts by the time I speak to you guys. And thank you so much. My first interview ever.
Yeah, no, grateful to have you on.
Thanks so much, Sonia.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sonia.
Hi there, thanks again for listening to the Business Over Chai podcast. If you like this content, please hit subscribe. And if you have any feedback, please give us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter with the handle Business Over Chai, or alternatively on our website, businessoverchai.com. Thanks again for listening.